Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank the Lord for His Word, and we've been looking at some passages in Scripture that talk about trees. The title of my message, if you will, is Which Tree Do You Choose? We find that our very first parents made a very bad choice when they chose to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But we'd like to look at another tree today, and we're going to be going into the first chapter of John, and I'd like to start reading at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and he saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile or no dishonesty. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. That convinced him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and His angels, the angels of God, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's a reference to Genesis 28 and 12. Here we see a tree of complacency, if you will, until God interacted with him. He was an Israelite. He obviously served the Lord. The Lord, his first comment was full of commendation. A true Israelite in whom is no guile, no dishonesty. He was concerned for the truth. But obviously, he was just sitting under a tree. And in these verses, we find that he was sitting under a fig tree. And Jesus revealed to Nathanael what he was doing, and it shook him up. He revealed to Nathanael that he knew. When we look at verse 50, he was very clear. He said, I saw thee under the fig tree, and thou shalt see even greater things than this. So we see where Nathanael had been reclining under a fig tree. We hear what Nathanael had been reading, apparently, reading the scriptures. He was, when that reference to Genesis 38 is the reference to Jacob's ladder, when Jacob had departed from his family and was on his way to Laban. He rested at Bethel, and as he slept, he saw, he had a vision there. He had the experience of angels descending upon the ladder, and he named it Bethel, the house of God. And now we see also, let's look at another tree. That was the tree of convenience, and as we go further in the Gospels, we can go to the Gospel of Luke. And in verse 19, and in verse, well, let me start at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And in verse 4, we see another tree. Verse 4 reads, "And he ran before Zacchaeus did and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Here we see another tree, the tree of convenience. Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, and because he was not very tall, he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up this tree so he could get a good look at him. So Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree so he could see Jesus, and in verse 5, we see Jesus, he came to that place, he looked up, he saw him, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And of course, he responded rapidly. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can you imagine? He just wanted to see him, and here the master was actually extending an invitation to him of wonderful personal fellowship. So in verse 6, we see he received him joyfully, and Jesus was going to stay at his house. So this is a tree of convenience that happened to be there, and so he climbed up. And when I'm talking about trees, but it seems like many choose to hide behind a tree as Adam and Eve, or sit under a tree, or climb up above everyone else to see Jesus, to get just a little bit better view. And the only way, beloved, to really see Jesus is to come down, just as Zacchaeus did. He had to come down from his lifestyle. He was a publican. He was rich. He had to come down from the way of life he had been living. He'd obviously heard about Jesus. He was excited. He wanted to know a little bit more about this man. But the only way to really see Jesus is to come down, and not only down with your feet on the ground, but on your knees to submit before the Lord, to come down before him. And then, beloved, if you will respond in obedience, oh, how he desires that. He said, in Revelation, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open to me, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." What a beautiful fellowship that is, to be able to say you know the God of the universe, the living God. How wonderful that is. But in today's world, you know, I've been burdened for many nominal Christians. They serve, they pray when they want to, they read their Bible when they want to. So many want the Lord. Oh, when they're in trouble, they run to him. But they want the Lord when they feel like it. They pray when they feel like it. They read the Word when they feel like it. They obey God when they feel like it. They're governed and guided by feelings, by their emotions. So many shape and reshape God by their own feelings, changing his standard to fit our own, tailoring their walk with God to suit their needs. And beloved, that mentality, a feel-good society, this is where we are at. It's promoted by television, by the social media. Everything is about emotions and feelings. How do you feel? What's your thought on it? And things like social media, it's just a place where people can express themselves. Beloved, and to a great extent, that has taken away personal interaction and face-to-face encounter, and is destroying relationships because people want to live in a virtual reality. Well, I won't go off on that subject. I have rather strong feelings about it. However, that's what we do. And you see, even the very aspect of the subject of forgiving someone, it's not a matter of feelings. If some of you right now have been deeply hurt, God tells us in his word, the Lord's Prayer, if you will, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, the fact is, you may have to make a choice of your will to forgive. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has nothing to do with your emotions. Your emotions will follow. But if you've been hurt, if you're angry, you need to release that. You need to resist it. You need to repent and say, "Lord, I choose to forgive and walk on with God." Because if you don't, it will hinder you moving from the spot you're in. There's nothing worse than bitterness. Bitterness is a sin that has just been allowed to fester, and that person never goes anywhere. in the Lord until they repent. And so God is getting, he's getting serious, and we need to respond with alacrity. We need to respond. When he says yes, then we'll say, yes, Lord. We need to obey him. And so it's not a matter of our feelings. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. God doesn't want spiritual speculators. He wants a people that will know him. He wants a people that are willing to serve him on his terms, not on theirs, serving and obeying. Why? Because he is Lord. So many want him as Savior. They don't really want him as Lord. Because, why do we do that? Because he's worthy. And because we fear and stand in awe of him. Beloved, this nation must have a spiritual renewal. We put false confidence in our great military strength. Just as the people of old did in Amos, the second chapter, we see in verses 14 and 15, therefore this flight shall perish from the swift, the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself, and he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day. So many have turned from the Lord in pursuing a selfish, wicked use of power. In Amos 1 and 13, it says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions and for the children of Ammon and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women and the child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their borders. Beloved, God is very serious today, and we have to take heed while there is time. Before time is no more, and we need to occupy until he comes. We need to be concerned about the things of the Lord. Well, beloved, if you need help, if you need spiritual strength to do the things that God is asking of you, I invite you to write. This is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and correspondence. The announcer will give our contact information in just a moment. I want you to know I pray and fast regularly for UCM partners, and I love you dearly, partners that are listening, and for my radio family, even though you've never written, I pray for you. But if you feel the prompting and anointing of the Holy Spirit to write, he has a reason for you to do that. So please obey him. I love you. Thank the Lord for you. Thank for the privilege of ministering the Word of God. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.